Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, October the 7th, 2020. We thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson's in Studio Venus.
Yes, good morning. It's a lovely fall morning here in Venus.
Lovely fall morning in Venus.
That sounds like a Frank Sinatra song.
Hey, Venus.
All right. All right, folks, we thank you for listening to AFR. Ed, if folks want to join us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Well, now they can go to AFR.net and watch, but if they want to use...
They can watch there?
They can.
Okay.
Well, they can listen. We stream the audio only. Or if you want to watch us...
And who wouldn't want to, really?
Well, I was about to say, and why would you? But
yeah,
no. You can go to either Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues, and there will be. We will pop up right before your very eyes.
And we also post the stories that we talk about, the original sources of the stories, on our Facebook page. So
yes,
take advantage of that. Facebook and YouTube, we live video stream the show. Just go there and type in Today's Issues. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Abraham Hamilton III, and then who else?
Well, then at 10:45, Denise Schick. She is one of the stories that is told by our new film produced by American Family Studios, In His Image, which is a film about sexual orientation and gender identity confusion. It is going to be powerful. We will give you information on how you can watch the kind of like the trailer, and then we'll give you more information on how you can watch it when it goes live and available on October 20th. So that will be coming. Denise is one of the stories. Her father, this is her personal story she's interviewed during for In His Image, the personal story of her father telling her at the age of 9 his desire to become a woman, and then her ministry to families and others who struggle. She is one of the testimonies that appears in this amazing film, In His Image, from American Family Studios.
All right, Fred.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, President Trump returned to the White House on Monday, and if anybody thought he was going to spend his time getting over COVID by watching reruns on TV, think again. What he did right off the bat was announce he was ordering the declassification of all documents related to the Russia investigation. Now, according to the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, among those documents, it's been revealed that then-CIA Director John Brennan briefed President Obama in 2016 on Hillary Clinton's plan to stir up a scandal tying then-candidate Donald Trump to Russia and distracting from the controversy over her private email server. Boy, that's got some people riled. One of them, obviously, is former CIA Director John Brennan, and we're going to have a listen to how he's reacting to that, but the response also that this is getting from the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, and also Donald Trump Jr. Here we go, cut number one.
If, in fact, what the Russians were alleging, that Hillary was trying to highlight the reported connections between Trump and the Russians, if, in fact, that was accurate, and that's a big if, there is nothing at all illegal about that. And so John Ratcliffe and others are trying to portray this as potentially unlawful activity that deserved follow-up investigation by the FBI. No, it was a campaign activity.
When you see Brennan's notes, and one of the things he puts in there is to vilify Donald Trump. I mean, when you look at a coordinated effort and now you see it in his own handwriting, why is this just now coming out to the American people? Why after $45 million did Mueller not put any of this in his report?
All of them knew. The CIA, the upper levels of the FBI, the Obama administration, Obama and Biden himself, they all knew. And they let this go on for 4 years. They let it happen knowing that it was nonsense because it would hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's very interesting. What has been released in the last 24 hours seems to go to everything that we have heard about the meetings in the Oval Office, Joe Biden there talking about maybe a violation of the Logan Act in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
But this idea that Hillary Clinton actually cooked this up to distract from the investigation into her handling of her email server.
Yeah, just to simplify, because unless we all want to relive the last 4 years.
I'd kind of like to.
Mueller and FBI and Comey, you know, all the favorites that we have. In this drama, in this play we've been watching, just to simplify things, what's happened in the last 24 hours or so. Brennan, who you just heard there, one of the voices you just heard, he was the CIA director for President Obama,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's been revealed that he wrote notes with his own handwriting after a meeting with President Obama, and I don't know if Vice President Biden was there or not. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, the facts here. And the handwritten note says that, allegedly, I think it says, Hillary Clinton wants to stir up a controversy about Donald Trump to vilify him by connecting him to the Russians. Mm-hmm. And so, I got that right, Fred?
That is correct.
Okay.
And the purpose for doing that
is what?
Is that it would distract from her own troubles regarding her personal, work emails, government emails being on her personal server.
Okay. First of all, what idiot writes notes like that and keeps them?
I think they're required to.
No, you're not.
You're not?
No, you're not.
You're not required to take notes at a meeting?
No. Why would you be? Well, even if you take notes, write down the score of the game last night. write about what you need to pick up at the grocery store before you go home. You don't write potentially self-incriminating notes to be stored to be later used against you should an investigation be done. I'm not going to do that. Maybe you would.
I could be wrong. I think they're required to have notes of meetings. And why he gets that specific, I don't know. Maybe he was planning on writing a book.
Maybe he never thought it would be seen.
Maybe he thought it would never be seen. Hillary's going to win, so no one will ever see it.
Because some might argue, well, if he said allegedly. Yes. He did use that word, right, Fred?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, allegedly means I don't know if it's true or not.
Right.
This is the story. Anyway, but I think the overarching point here is that to a fair-minded person, you would have to look at this and go, this fits in perfectly with the Mueller report not being able to find anything on President Trump after 2 years of investigating the campaign. This fits in perfectly with the FBI and James Comey spying, misleading the FISA court so that they can spy on the Trump campaign. All this is collusion. It all fits together. What it amounts to, and I don't know if it'll make any difference in the upcoming election in 3 or 4 weeks. But what? And I would say this if this was Republicans doing this to a Democrat.
Right.
I really would.
Mm-hmm.
What you had going on here, and it's not funny. I'm not laughing because it's funny. What you had going on here is you had the deep state and a lot of high-ranking Democrat officials, and they were abusing the powers of their offices
mm-hmm.
and their agencies
mm-hmm.
to go after Donald Trump, to cut him off at the knees, to intimidate his people, to try to create some illusion in the minds of the American people that his presidency was illegitimate. And this handwritten note by Brennan to me confirms this. Hillary Clinton, who we know her campaign paid for that Steele dossier all heard about.
That's right.
Which led to the investigation of the spying of the Donald Trump campaign. This was, I don't know in American history, but this has got to be right near the top, a top five in public corruption, Ed.
You know, two phrases come to mind. Crooked Hillary and lock her up.
Yeah, but you know, James Comey went along with all this. He was the FBI director.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the Department of Justice lady? What was her name? She was in there. She's the one we met with Bill Clinton on the tarmac out in Phoenix. What was her name?
Oh my goodness.
She was right in there with him.
Yeah, it'll come to me.
Former Attorney General.
I mean, do you think I've overstated this? And no wonder President, I would be probably worse off than Trump in terms of my anger.
Loretta Lynch.
But what do you think about
described it? You've described it absolutely accurately.
Yeah.
This is public. This is corruption. This is abuse of power. And now I'm going to put on my negative Nelly hat and say nobody's going to prison over this. Nobody's going to jail over this. This has been secretive enough and swampy enough that nobody's going to prison over this, even though this is absolutely abuse of power. Everything, as you pointed out, everything that Donald Trump has said about what was being done to him was being done to him. Hillary Clinton knew this Steele dossier was filled with lies. Now, someone could go to prison, I think, for falsifying those FISA applications,
mm-hmm.
okay, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, empowers judges to sign off on applications for warrants having to do with conversations with overseas people that could pose a danger to the United States. All that was falsified, and so some lower rung people could go to jail for that, but none of these big players is ever going to see the inside of a prison unless they're visiting a friend.
To your point, Ed, Fox News reporter and lawyer Greg Jarrett speaking out on this, saying Obama knew all about the Russia hoax and Hillary, he thinks, could be guilty of federal crimes. Cut two.
We know that Hillary Clinton not only invented the Russia hoax, she financed the Russia hoax, she disseminated the Russia hoax, and Barack Obama knew it. He sat there silently as our government was thrown into turmoil for the last 4 years over what he knew, based on the intelligence presented to him by John Brennan, was phony information conjured up by Hillary Clinton to distract from her own emails. But it demonstrates just how immoral, unscrupulous, devious, and corrupt Hillary Clinton was. I would argue she has committed crimes depending upon how she disseminated the information.
Who was that?
That was Greg Jarrett.
Greg Jarrett.
He's a Fox legal expert.
Yeah. The John Durham is the U.S. attorney that William Barr, the AG, has appointed to investigate how this started and were there crimes committed. We'll see what his report holds. But listen, three things. I share your pessimism, Ed, that anybody will ever go to prison over this. Listen, if you can use a private server to do State Department business out of your bathroom, in your house, you're Hillary Clinton, and the reason you do that is so you can avoid congressional oversight. If you can get away with that, and James Comey, the FBI director, says she's good-hearted, she didn't mean anything.
And you can have your underlings destroy.
Destroy external hard drives.
Yep.
You can be the one who decides what the emails are that are be able to be looked at by the investigators, right? Because remember that?
It was all about yoga and Chelsea's wedding.
So I'm just saying, and I don't mean to sound, I'm not saying there still isn't a justice in the world and in America, but I'm just saying if you're that powerful and you can get away with that and everybody knows it, then Mueller's team of Clinton supporting attorneys who investigated Trump for 2 years and couldn't nail him because there's nothing to nail.
Right.
There's some jello.
But also then that Mueller team ignores all this information that's coming out.
Yes. As we find out, we know that Strzok and the ones at the FBI, they were out to get Trump.
Right.
They went over there and went out to get General Flynn.
Yep.
I mean, this is just...
At Biden's suggestion.
And let's don't forget, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've discovered that, all the cell phones of the investigators in the Mueller campaign had their phones wiped.
Yep.
So nobody can... And before they turned it over to the IG, right?
Yeah.
Or the Inspector General. So,
so you can't look at their texts to one another.
And it was just, it's all coincidence.
Yep.
Just Shazam. We don't know what happened. All our phones are wiped, so nobody can tell what we were doing and what we were saying.
Yeah.
And we're all in this together. This is a band of brothers.
Right.
Our sisters. I don't know who I was. Anyway, I know it's not funny. I'm not laughing because of that. I'm just saying. It's one of those things where you get told the 10th thing that happened that you're supposed to believe is just coincidence, having to do with the same motive and same goal and same objective. That is, cutting Donald Trump off at the knees.
Well, let me just make a comment about when you were saying I'm not laughing at it as if it's funny.
It's a serious issue.
I use this example probably two or three years ago when we were starting to catch wind of the corruption that went into all this investigation, and I mentioned the old movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart, and the bad guy in that was a man with the last name Taylor, and he ran newspapers, and he was behind the corruption in the Senate that Jimmy Stewart's character uncovers. And the newspaper reporters are talking about the fact that Taylor goes after Jimmy Stewart's character, making him look like the one who's corrupt. I'll just never forget this line. One of the reporters, one of these hard-boiled, kind of typical reporters, he says, "Boy, you just got to marvel at the beauty of that Taylor machine." Because they had so turned everything around so that Jimmy Stewart's character became vilified in the public. And to me, that's what I do when I laugh at this. I just go, you just got to marvel at how corrupt these people are. And they managed to pull this off and are probably, at least on this earth, going to get away with all this. All the major players are going to get away with all this. They've wiped cell phones. They've destroyed and bleached, external hard drives, all this stuff, Strzok and Page, we've got the insurance, Strzok writing the statement that was going to be made by Comey about how Hillary was not guilty of anything before they even interviewed her. She wasn't interviewed under oath, all that stuff.
Right.
You just sit there and you go, actually pulled this off.
And Peter Strzok was a fanboy of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
He's the one charged with investigating her. And when you go over to her house to investigate, to question her about this whole email, doing state business, some classified emails.
Yes.
On your server out of your bathroom at your house.
Which is a felony, having classified
But when the FBI goes over there, Peter Strzok and whoever else went over there to question her about this for a couple hours, when you don't even put her under oath.
Right.
I mean, what do you, I'll have a Diet Coke and some popcorn. Y'all want to watch a movie while you're here?
And Strzok wrote the statement exonerating her before they interviewed her.
So, anyway, so.
And let me just add one other thing, and then we might let Fred get in here.
Yeah, Fred.
The fact that this has gone on since Trump was elected, this beating he's taken in the media. Remember all of them saying, all these people saying, we're telling you, there's a smoking gun. Okay, all
you're
this.
You're talking
stuff,
about the Russia.
I'm talking about the Russian thing. All of this, the impeachment, all this stuff, hammering Trump every day for 3 years, and that has. And then people go, "Well, how come his favorability ratings aren't higher?" Okay, all that has taken its toll, and it was all based on lies.
And I wouldn't say it's destroyed him because it hasn't, but it's certainly. He's human,
right?
And his family, and it sucked the life out of a lot of the energy that they would have. I don't know. Maybe that's an overstatement, but it would for me. You're going like, you mean to tell me all this happened and these people are going to get away with it?
I'm just talking about the effect on public opinion.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. You take a beat, day in, day out. The many in the American public think that Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
Won the election for Donald Trump.
Right.
Because that's what they were told for 2 years.
And his favorability ratings are not higher because he's been smeared since day one. And how many people really pay attention to what we're talking about? How many people are going to know
the details of this?
The details. They're not going to know it. They'll know what CNBC and CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post have been publishing for years.
Well... Yeah. We'll see what happens with the Durham investigation, but
all of this points to the importance of how much attention the media plays to this.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen because when you look at how the mainstream media has covered the story we just spent 20 minutes on, crickets.
Right. Yes.
Crickets.
No, the media, this has been a big part of the problem. We've talked about this before, but... The mainstream media, they can't stand Donald Trump and President Trump. They can't stand Republicans in general, but they certainly can't stand President Trump and his administration. and so they, many of them, intentionally keep information from the public that might favor him. And they keep information from the public that might disfavor Biden.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is intentional, and you see it obviously every day. I was in. You can go on news services. A lot of the mainstream news services. You can click over to. I just did the other night. Yahoo.com. I go there every once in a while, and they have news. Well. The pictures they use of President Trump is of him lashing out with an angry face, the red and bold veins bulging. The pictures they use of Biden is of that smile with the dentist office would use for an advertisement.
Right.
Huh? I mean, it's just...
You don't think that's intentional? Of course it is.
Yeah. And not that President Trump doesn't get angry, but Biden also gets angry. Anyway, it's just... The whole mainstream media is against President Trump, and I don't know what they'll do if he wins.
It'll be four more years.
They might go into what can you do? Heads spin off the. We're going to get an exorcist moment from Don Lemon. Is that what we're going to? Is what's going to happen?
I hope so.
That would be entertaining.
I hope we do.
Huh?
I'd like to see Don Lemon's head come off.
Well, I guess if it's an exorcist moment, you're gonna have not head come off.
Right.
Head explode.
Just turn around.
Head spinning.
Head spinning.
Head spin. Don Lemon's head spinning.
I'm speaking metaphorically.
Would you watch that?
I don't want
if
any
Don
harm
Lemon's head
to come.
Was started spinning?
I would watch it and tape it. And when I was down and feeling a little blue, I would pop that back on my computer screen and watch it.
Now that sounds like Carpenter's song right there.
When I'm down,
yeah,
feeling
I think
a little
it's
blue.
Monday. Something in a Monday's rainy days of Monday. We'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek.
That's the way our country is now. We don't listen to one another. We just scold one another. We cancel one another. We don't actually have debates anymore. We just try and shut people down.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. A St. Louis couple who defended their private property against a rampaging mob that broke into their gated community has been indicted by a grand jury. Mark and Patricia McCloskey were indicted on charges of unlawful use of a weapon and tampering with evidence. Nine protesters were charged with misdemeanor trespassing last month after they literally broke down an iron gate and illegally entered the exclusive neighborhood. Protesters later dropped the charges against the rampaging mob and then set their sights on the McCloskeys. Mr. McCloskey tells me the mob was anything but peaceful. He says at least one person in the crowd had a weapon. They were threatening to burn down the family's mansion. You know, it's a sad day in America when law-abiding gun owners are not allowed to protect their private property from criminals. That's worth remembering on Election Day, folks. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Fred, tell our listeners about our news service they want to take advantage of.
American Family Radio News. You're a radio listener. You hear our newscasts at the top of the hour throughout the day. And we have a website called onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. We take the stories that you hear on the radio newscasts, expand on them, information that comes from our team of reporters. And if you go to that website, onenewsnow.com, you go up to the right-hand side there, you can sign up for our daily newsletter, our daily kind of a summary of the big stories that we are producing each day to let you know what's going on in this crazy world of ours. And you can sign up for that. Just put your email address in there, and once a day we will send you one email, and that'll contain the summary of stories for you to take and read and share with your family, share at your Sunday school class. I tell you what, it's free, and we will not sell your email address to anyone else. So you're looking for news from a Christian perspective, as I say, during these crazy days, you can sign up for that news brief, that daily news brief, Monday through Friday. We'll send it to your mailbox free of charge.
Abraham Hamilton III joins us most Wednesdays at this time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Abe. Abe is host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 6 o'clock, live here on AFR. He's also a constitutional attorney. I want to ask you, Abe, by the way, the vice presidential debate is tonight from Salt Lake City. It's at 8 o'clock Central Time, so you want to make sure, folks, you tune in for that. That's going to be Vice President Pence representing the Republican side and Senator Kamala Harris, California.
Cuba. Representing Cuba.
Speaking on behalf of Castro. what do you expect tonight in this debate? This would probably be a better possibility for contrasting political and worldviews than what happened the food fight we had last week.
Yeah, I expect a more cogent presentation of the divergent political platforms. If you remember the Mike Pence bait versus Senator Kaine. Tim Kaine? What I thought that Vice President Pence did a very good job then of presenting his opinions, his positions, his arguments in a cogent style. One thing that will be different, I think, is Tim Kaine was somewhat passive, a little more docile. I don't expect Kamala Harris to be as docile. I expect her to try to go for the one-liners, you know, for the peanut gallery, so to speak, as opposed to being as substantive. But I do expect Vice President Pence to be a bit more substantive and present contrasting worldviews of the political candidates
Could a vice president, Fred, I'll ask you and then Abe can respond. Do you think a vice presidential debate could move the needle at all?
I think it can in this case. This is an unusual vice president debate because of what is at stake, because of what we've just been talking about the last 20, 25 minutes, what has gone on in this country for the last 4 years. And I think people do realize, given the age of Joe Biden, that Kamala Harris could be sitting in the Oval Office in a very few months. And people need to know there's a reason why she was rejected by the Democratic Party. She didn't get very far at all.
Why not?
Well, she didn't get very far at all because I think people are scared of her. One of the reasons being she was Attorney General of California, and she did a horrific job. Let me just put it that way, when she was Attorney General out there. She didn't do what the Democratic Party says should be done with regards to prison reform, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, she got elected senator.
She got elected senator out there, that's right.
She must have been too unpopular.
Well, she was perhaps popular in California, but I think there's a great deal of concern. All of that to say, I think this is going to have a much larger audience than your typical vice presidential debate, a much larger audience. I think what they're anxious to see is how Vice President Pence may hold up, because there's two very different personalities going on here, very different personalities. Vice President Pence, first of all, he's an evangelical Christian. He's a very thoughtful individual. Kamala Harris can explode. You might see that tonight. I think she is going to make wild accusations about, like former Vice President Biden has been doing, that Donald Trump is responsible for the deaths of over 200,000 Americans. She's going to try to drive that home.
Do you think if she did that, Pence put her in a headlock?
No, they have plexiglass between them.
Yes.
they've insisted on actually putting plexiglass between the two tonight on that stage.
Actually, they're in Salt Lake, right?
Yeah.
I heard that they were going to put Pence in Salt Lake or in Utah and put Kamala Harris in Nevada. Just to make sure that
they're social
there's
distance.
no chance at COVID being spread. Hey, what do you think about this debate tonight?
Yeah, I will be interested in seeing whether or not Vice President Pence is successful in getting Kamala Harris to reaffirm the distance that Joe Biden asserted that he has between himself and the more extreme wing of the Democrat Party. Where is she going to come on the New Deal, which she co-authored in the Senate? The Green New Deal when Vice President Biden says he doesn't support it. I wanted to see if he will get her to affirm Biden's recitation of his lack of a willingness to defund the police. I'd like to see if
how about packing the Supreme Court. What's she going to say?
Yeah,
there?
What is she going to say about those things? So, it's going to be interesting because it's going to put her in a precarious position because again, she co-authored the Green New Deal. So,
listen,
she would have to change positions from her own campaign for the presidency.
I hope and I think that Vice President Pence will learn from the mistakes of President Trump last week. President Trump did a lot of good things in the debate, but what President Trump, in my opinion, could have done is let Joe Biden hang himself. And right when Joe Biden was getting ready to probably say something inane or whatever, or politically dumb, or crazy idea, or radical, and President Trump would save the day by interrupting him.
Right.
And that would become the issue rather than what Joe Biden was about to answer. Now I think that's overstated. President Trump didn't do that all night, and Biden interrupted him all the time too. The media doesn't talk about that. Called him a clown.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Liar.
You liar. You worst president ever. Keep yapping, man. I mean, Biden was giving it back or initiating some of the interruptions and disrespect in that. So there's enough of that to go around. And I called it a food fight. But what I'm hoping is that tonight, Vice President Pence, because the ideas that Vice President Pence will espouse to me are mainstream, middle America ideas and beliefs that are very patriotic. They're constitutional. They respect our history and our liberties, and they're Judeo-Christian. Many of the things that he should be able to talk about tonight, they're talking about the values. So I hope that I think he needs to let Kamala Harris. Is it Kamala or Kamala?
Kamala.
Kamala. What is it? Abe changed it.
I think it's Kamala.
I think it's Kamala. It's not Kamala. It's Kamala.
So listen, we have two groups, and we're not going to agree to disagree.
Okay, on the Kamala. Well,
yeah, there's a Kamala Kamala divergence.
Well, let's just go with
within
Harris.
AFR.
Senator Harris.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we need Amy Coney Barrett to break this tie. But
if he will let, if Pence will let her talk, or not talk, if the moderator is tough on both of them, he will make Kamala Harris answer the question, are you in favor of stacking the Supreme Court? Are you in favor of adding D.C. and Puerto Rico as states?
Right. Defund the police.
Defund the police.
Green New Deal. He needs to push.
Who is the moderator?
Susan Page, I think, Fred,
yes.
Of USA Today.
USA okay. Today, correct.
So at that point, and I'm sure Pence, don't answer. Don't interrupt her.
Yeah, right. Let her go.
Let her go, and if she, because he'll have some tough questions to answer too.
Yes,
you know. But let her go. Let her talk. And if it's obvious that she won't answer the questions, let the moderator say you're not answering the question.
Yeah. Right.
Senator Harris, you raised your hand a few months ago when the Democrat candidates for the presidency were asked whether or not they were in favor of providing health insurance for illegal aliens crossing the border.
Right.
Do you still support that?
Yes.
Also,
yes.
You called yes. Vice President. I don't know if she actually called. Did she call Biden racist?
Yes.
Okay, so she actually said, you called the president racist. Do you retract that?
She called her running mate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Racist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was during the primary.
Listen, there is
debate.
So much that she said and done, Harris, that needs to be.
I also want to add, too, that I think Vice President Pence needs, I think he will. I think he will come very well prepared. He needs to defend the president on COVID.
Yes.
And the coronavirus.
He will.
That needs to be
if
one of the.
He's allowed to.
Yes. That needs to be one of the strongest points he makes. He needs to defend the president's record on that and the economy before the shutdowns, and needs to point out that it is governors who determined the majority of the responses within each state. And what the president did was superhuman, you know, in getting, you know, companies to
There are legitimate make, answers.
Yes, there are legitimate answers.
To every,
I think it presents an opportunity. I talked about this on the radio, and I don't know how much national attention this has gotten, but in 2009, when 60 million Americans contracted the swine flu, the Obama administration ordered through via the CDC for testing to cease.
Right.
They stopped testing people. I would ask a question about that. So how does that contrast with what's happening today, and how has the lack of testing in 2009 contrasted with what's happening today?
Yeah.
Kamala Harris, the senator, is that what we said? Kamala.
I forget now.
Well, Kamala.
That should be
right.
A question tonight for her. How do you pronounce your first name? She's auditioning for the presidency tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so. On the biggest stage she's had so far. Yep. Yes, she was in the Democrat debates, primaries, but she finished last out of 10 people. And so she was not impressive to the Democrat voters. I don't know why exactly. But she will be, should Vice President Biden win, Kamala Harris will be the president within a year, I predict, maybe two. And for all intent purposes, she'll be the driving force probably behind the Biden-Harris ticket just because of his age and his declining energy, okay? Biden right now is, nobody's excited. Nobody goes to his rallies. Nobody. There I go. Better fact check me on that. There's probably seven who go to his rallies, so I've been fact checked wrong. Twitter needs to ban me. Facebook needs to put a note on the bottom of my page. The problem is I don't have a page to put a note on the bottom of.
Right.
So, and I don't have a Twitter account, so they can't ban me. But my point is that she's auditioning for the presidency, so it's a big deal. I think it probably will be watched more than an average vice presidential debate, and I think Vice President Pence. It'll be interesting to see, will Harris go after Pence on his religion? I think she will.
I think she will.
Probably at least related to abortion.
Yes.
That'll definitely come up.
Well, also, she's going to say you're a member of a homophobic community. Mm-hmm. You don't believe in equality.
That's right.
Those kinds of things. Now, I hope Vice President Pence has thought his answers out, because he doesn't need to fall all over himself saying, right. I'm not a bigot. please, I'm not a bigot. You know, I'm not a homophobe. Those kinds of things. He needs to be able to stand firm for biblical truths.
Right.
Because he is a believer, and he's an evangelical or conservative believer. So we've all seen our brothers and sisters get put on the spot, and they end up apologizing for the Bible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Don't do that. Don't back up on that. And don't let them frame the issue in an incorrect way.
Right.
I'm sure he's well prepared for that. But I do think Harris and probably the moderator will go after Pence on his religion.
Right.
I think you'll see that tonight, because they'll say something like, Vice President Pence, your wife... Your wife, who's here tonight, teaches at a school that prohibits LGBT from being on the faculty.
Right.
How, sir, do you square that with you know, why is that not bigoted? Why is that not discriminatory? Answer that, please. So you see, I'm sure he's thought that through, but I do think. Either the moderator or Harris will come after him on his religious beliefs / social issues, abortion, pro-life, religious liberty, LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ, those kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah.
You think so, Abe?
I'm confident that will happen, probably sooner than later.
Right.
Harris will initiate that?
Yeah, she's going to bring it up. I expect her to bring it up even more so than the moderator.
Yeah, because she's gonna say you're an extremist.
Yep,
you're scary.
Yes,
and if you're in charge, you're gonna have a Gestapo go after LGBT.
It's gonna be the Handmaid's Tale. You know, women under the thumb of their patriarchal head of family.
Okay. I mean, you stop this part. I hope that Pence, if given the opportunity on life, he doesn't. Some people on the pro-life side, when they're in a big audience, they start saying things that they don't put things in such stark ways. He doesn't need to say culture of life. We need to protect people from birth to. I mean, I'm not saying. He needs to say, you know what? Chopping up a baby inside the mother's womb is immoral.
Yeah.
And then sucking them out with a vacuum cleaner. That's what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
And guess what? Harris, your party is for letting a baby die after they're born.
Right.
If they survive an abortion. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to talk.
Not just her party, her. Because
her.
She
yes,
refused
her.
To vote for That's the true. Baby Born Alive Act.
Okay. What I'm saying is you don't need to soft pedal that.
Right.
You don't need to talk. Lightly about it or talk around the edges, you need to go just like Trump did a few years ago.
Yes.
We're in the debate with Hillary Clinton. He said killing a baby up to 9 months may be okay with her, but it's not okay with me.
Right.
Remember how he said
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that Pence needs to do tonight
right.
if that issue arises.
And it,
he and
should,
it will
he
because.
He should raise the issue.
Yes, because
if
it's
not
come
presented.
Up with,
yeah.
It's going to come up in certainly in with respect to. Amy Coney Barrett's
yes,
nomination.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Brother Abe.
Thank you.
See you this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
5 to 6 o'clock on the radio.
Be there or be square.
Okay. Abe has his own show this afternoon, 5 to 6 o'clock on Hamilton Corner on AFR. Ed, the next topic.
Yes, well, we want to welcome to the program Denise Schick. Denise appears, and her testimony appears, in the new film from American Family Studios, In His Image. And this is a film about the biblical view of human sexuality and gender. Denise tells her personal story of her father telling her at the age of 9 his desire to become a woman. And also Denise ministers to families and those who struggle with gender identity. Denise, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Well, listen, Denise, tell us just briefly about this story that you have that is presented in His Image. Tell us a little bit about that and your ministry.
Sure. Thank you. Well, my life was what I assumed was normal as any child, you know, would when your environment and that's all that you know. But at the age of 9, everything totally changed. My dad had taken me outside on this particular summer day, and what was within seconds, he just looked at me and said, I want to become a woman. So instantly, I had felt the loss of a father, but as well did not think that this would impact me. You know, dad was a separate person than I was, but I was very foolish, naive, at that age and just trying to process this and what it would mean for my life, because it brought many different challenges about. By the time I was 11, I questioned if God really made a mistake with my dad and he should have been a woman, how do I know that I'm really supposed to be a girl? And so playing that out in my imagination, struggling, who am I? You know, it's almost like, who am I really? And going on with that in a, making it up in my mind, in my bedroom, playing that out, what I would look like as a man. And finally, to me, God just come about, and it was knowing without a doubt that dad was not supposed to be a woman. You know, that dad was and is a man, recognizing the things that he had shared with me at 9 years old, that he was really running from a lot of pain in his life. And the further that this journey went on, the more difficulties that it brought, because honestly, I was growing up into resembling a woman naturally. And so that brought a lot of enviness and hard feelings between my dad and I. It almost seemed like I was playing tug of war, you know, and the tug of war was trying to survive in this environment and try to survive with my dad being around me. I didn't feel good about being a girl. I struggled with even wearing makeup when young girls get to that age where they're experimenting. or feeling free to wear something pretty or frilly because it might begin some type of urge with dad. So much of my childhood was stolen from me because of knowing what he struggled with and knowing when he was struggling. For instance, he would let me know when he was feeling like a woman. You'll know that I'm feeling this way when I'm sitting in the chair and I have my legs crossed over like a woman does when she wears a dress. So there was no doubt a lot of confusion in my life and yet a lot of heartache for what he was going through, but I really struggled with my own heart becoming very hard as he continued not only to hurt me, but to see my mother hurt and the rest of our family as he left to pursue the identity and become known as Becky.
Denise, let me just jump in here and ask you, because this, you know, one of the things that little boys and little girls, one of the first things they begin to realize and recognize about themselves is the difference in sex and gender. I'm a boy, she's a girl. And now you have many more schools after the Bostock decision here this past summer. You have a lot of states who are pushing to very little children, this idea that you may not be a boy as you think you are. You may actually be a girl. How damaging is this going to be? Because that one of those clear distinctions in life that you understand as a little child is now being pulled away from these kids. How much turmoil is this going to cause nationwide for little children?
I think we're going to see a great tragedy in the years to come because of what's happening in the schools. If I was that 11 or 12-year-old today and went to my school counselor or even went to a teacher and said I'm struggling and I'm pretending and I really see myself as a man and what I'd look like, they would no doubt either contact my parents or allow me behind the scenes to live under that identity at school. And it's very damaging to children instead of embracing who they say they are, then rather affirming them and making them feel good about themselves of being a boy or a girl. In 17 years of doing this type of ministry work with families and with individuals, there's not one person that I've spoken with that has not had a lot of hurt and pain. And so instead of addressing the heart issues, the experiences that are giving them a distorted view of who they are, we are allowing and promoting them to live in a fantasy world.
Okay, Denise, last question here. Would you let our listeners know what the name of your ministry is and what your website is and what they can expect to find at your website?
Yes, it's Help for Families with a number 4, so helpforfamilies.com. And we offer many different ministry and tools and resources, such as, you know, prayer conference calls, connecting family members with others, a Zoom support group, many resources of books, as we have actually started a children's series addressing the fact of children having nothing but LGBTQ books. There's not been an alternative message. So we just had created I'm Glad God Made Me a Girl, and we are now working with an illustrator on The Boy That Likes Tea Parties. We're addressing this from a biblical standpoint, but understanding that children need stories too, and they need stories that will build them up but will bring grace and understanding to those about them that may struggle with their identity.
Okay. Thank you, Denise. You're a brave soul for taking on this issue, and we appreciate your ministry and are grateful for your time here on the show today, okay?
Thank you very much.
And folks, we want to encourage you to go to this website, inhisimage.movie, inhisimage.movie. If you would just simply put your email on that website, you will be able to watch the sneak peek preview, for free. Even that preview has gotten thousands of views. And then we will stay updated for the premiere of this film, In His Image, on October 20th. That will also be free for you to watch. More great information. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.